Showtime on a Friday, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We are live today at the fabulous Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, our home away from home after four great days in Atlanta at SEC Media Days. Right next to that, Omni, we're excited to be home. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, back at the studios where I'm going to be honest with you, I've kind of forgotten what he's looked like. So.
Handsome.
There we go.
That's it. That a boy.
Handsome is a word we need to use in our vernacular vocabulary every single day. Because you say somebody's handsome, you think like Cary Grant, you know, Clark Gable, that figure, that just feeling that you know what they look like. So.
What about delicious? Does that work or not?
Maybe for certain somebody who lived in Milwaukee a long time ago. But that is a whole different. That's after midnight. That's called Chase McCabe after midnight.
No, this is a family show.
Did you ever grow up on Art Bell? You know who that name is?
Yeah.
He's based out of Nashville. He had the conspiracy theories back in the 80s and 90s. Fascinating show. And then he moved like to area. He was in Nashville for a while, for those who remember. And then he moved like to Area 51, and then he just kind of. Know what happened to him after
just
that.
Just kind of what?
So that's kind of disappeared.
Oh, gotcha. Remember, so
Chase McCabe after dark.
Yeah, thanks for that.
You bet, buddy.
Thanks so much for the SEC Media Days coverage. That was a lot of fun, and Brewhouse South being a part of that. But it's good to be back home in Nashville.
It is.
Here's what's funny. We've done the special schedule this week, and, you know, we've been on later at 12 to 3, and Adam and Willie were on before us. My own mother texted me, like, who is this on? Where are you? I'm like, thanks, Mom. But she's listening now.
Well,
so,
good.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah. Well, we're back in our regular slot next week from 9 to 11. And that because Wednesday, Chaser McCaber, Titans.
Yep. They report Tuesday. We'll have the press conference with Brian Callahan and hear a whole lot of nothing, which is what most coaches will do.
Yeah. What time is that? Do we know?
I'm sure I have it in my email, but I don't know that off the top of my head.
I'd like to ask the same question I ask every time of the coach. The team you put on the field tomorrow at his press conference on Tuesday, can you win the Super Bowl with that team? And I told the story before from Fisher.
What if he said no?
I would love it.
What if he was like, not this year?
That would be the greatest comment ever in a press conference. He's like, hell, we're lucky we win two games. In fact, I've hired a realtor. I don't think I'll be here. That would be so
great. If he said that, I would just stand up and go.
Right.
That's the most honest answer.
Yeah.
Like, I could hear Vrabel doing something similar to that of like looking at you like, Joe, it's the first day of training camp. I don't know.
That's been answered. Wizenhut said that.
Yeah.
Wizenhut says it depends on how they all come together. And I was like, well, that's not an answer. And he moved on to the next question.
One week we're going to stink, and this guy sucks, and then I suck.
Basically.
Oh, that's
probably
great,
not.
Man. Oh, my. You could run the probably not all day long. But, yeah, they're here on the Tuesday, the press conference. Wednesday, they hit the field, and it starts. We talked, Chase and I were talking earlier. I mean, this is – I know there are no games being played, but this is true the last weekend without football talk, per se, what you see on the practice field. And then – 36 days, you don't do the countdown, but 36 days to the start of college football. And after that, I think it's 48 until NFL starts, Thursday night game.
No, we're almost there. And so we'll be broadcasting there Wednesday and Thursday of next week and then Tuesday, Wednesday of the following week. And only a handful of the live practices this year, but – it's going to be hot. So
yeah, and it's not like, hey, look at us out there. It's just the time they're practicing.
Yeah.
If they went 3 to 6, Jared would be out there, or noon to 2, DVD would be out there. This had me practicing in the morning. And you know,
well, you say that, but probably not.
But, you know, they had two-a-days. I mean, I remember three. At Sarah, three-a-day practices. Those are long gone now. So now it's just the one practice that you get to have and happens to be during our showtime. That's why we're out there.
I remember there was one time I had gone to they would do like the morning practice that would be open, and then they had an afternoon practice, and there was a friend of my dad's or somebody got me in where I could see the afternoon practice, and I just remember Fisher like looking over, and it's like, No cameras.
Right. Hey, Fisher was great, though.
He was, yeah.
In practice.
He and I talked over about that when we were on the Cats trip, and he's like, I mean, it was important for you guys to be there.
Right. He would walk over to us. It would be like me and Brian McKeegan and, you know, John Wilson at the time from Channel 4 and say, hey, we're this trick play. Don't run it. If you don't mind, don't run this play or don't show this play. And we wouldn't do it. We would hide. We would turn the cameras off and around, and he'd come over and thank us and all that. Now it's like, hey, you got 15 minutes. And I don't want to see Tannehill's butt when he's stretching. That's all you get out of there. Then do individual periods and go on. But 15 minutes is better than nothing.
Yeah.
And so you go from a lot of time you have covering practice to none. That's why I love Rick Stockstill at MTSU. The access with Rick Stockstill, you know what he told us one time? I said, Coach, what can we, where can we go? He said, anywhere you want to, just don't get hit. Yep. I was like, all right, we got this.
My favorite training camp story is we're at Titans, and you remember how they used to have, for those of you listening, you're probably like, I don't care, but they used to have the radio kind of in the back of the end zone on the first field.
Right.
Now we're on the sideline, which is kind of a better view. But they had us in the end zone, and I was out there, I think I was engineering or something, and it was George, Willie, and Floyd were doing the afternoon show, and they had a late practice. So this would have probably been like 2015, something like that. And there was no fence. I mean, we were right there on the field. There was no fence. There was nothing. And so I was kind of standing at the front of the tent, and they were doing red zone. And who would have been the quarterback then?
2015, Mariota.
So it was before that. It was like 14.
Mettenberger.
Yeah, something like that. Because Nate Washington was still there. That's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Throws like a fade into right into the corner. Nate catches it, but his momentum is he is headed right towards the fence. And in my head, in like half a second, I'm like, I have two choices. I can let him go crash into the former GM of the Titans and George, or I can try and catch it.
Right.
I tried to catch him, and I did. I literally let bear hug Nate Washington and caught him, and he was like, thanks, bro, appreciate it, because I was like, man, I it was either that, and he goes, I didn't want to go through your table.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he would have. I mean, he would have crashed into everything.
Oh, those were fun. The only one I got is Mark Mariani. Dave Ragone was the wide receiver coach, left-handed guy, quarterback from Louisville. He threw a pass so hard that Mariani missed it and hit me in the thigh. I mean, it was like I got shot by a bullet. Mariani says, damn, I probably should have caught that. I'm like, you think? I had this huge bruise on my right hip for like a week or so, and that Burton Elrod, because he saw Burton Elrod's like, do we need to go to Baptist? I'm like, hell yeah, we do. That hurts.
And then it comes out, Joe Dubin becomes partial owner of the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
Thanks to Mark Mariani.
Give me 20% of that. But that hurt like hell when he hit me in the side of the leg there. But that's the stories you get from training camp, because there's not really a lot happening there.
So one thing that is happening in the National Football League is the news came out yesterday that T.J. Watt has agreed to a 3-year contract extension with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had, you know, kind of been holding out and all that stuff. $123 million with $108 million fully guaranteed at signing. His $41 million per year average eclipses the $40 million a year that Myles Garrett got. It also surpasses Ja'Marr Chase, who got 40.25 as a receiver. So I bring all that up to ask our question of the day.
Our question of the day is, which current Tennessee Titan do you think will land the next big contract? It could be no one. It could be whoever you want. It could be two or three players. But who do you think is the next Tennessee Titan player that'll land the big contract? And I tell you what, there's one coming that in 2 years is going to land a big contract. And you're going to laugh at me, and I don't care. But I'm telling you, he's going to land a big contract. He's a current Tennessee Titan drafted by the team. Within 2 years, he'll earn a big contract from the Titans. And we'll tell you who that is later on.
Okay. 615-737-1025. My mother has texted and said that there was a time at FRA I didn't get out of the way, and I ended up in the ER. That was a pretty good story.
Is that when you sang Soprano?
No.
Okay.
I didn't sing Soprano.
Oh, we were, well, now you got to tell it.
I'm trying.
Okay.
It was practice. We're on the sideline. Or it may have been a scrimmage. I think it was a scrimmage. We were at BGA, and I'm on the sideline, and the running back comes towards the side. And I saw it, and I was moving. I just moved the wrong way. Like, I mean, it just – the play followed me, essentially. He runs into me. My foot gets caught up underneath. Hurt like hell.
I'm picturing this already.
And the best part is I fall down. Two players fall – and then I kind of, like, fall on top of them with my leg underneath. The coach picks me up, tosses me out of the way, who has no pads on, and makes sure that they're okay.
Like a mean game of Twister.
Yeah, I was like, thanks. Thanks, you dumb.
Yeah. Oh, name names. What I like about the story, rich boy crime on crime.
Basically. So I had to go to the ER. I had a sprained ankle.
You went to the ER over a sprained ankle?
I couldn't walk on it. The trainer told me to go to the ER.
He just wanted you out of there.
Probably. Our trainer looked at it and was like, I don't think it's broken, but go.
And you should say, why don't you take me to the ER? Did you drive yourself?
No, my mom took me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Because I got home, and then I'm like, I can't put any pressure on this anymore.
Did they call and check on you, I hope?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they did.
You pause for a second. I want to make sure you got checked on.
The one that threw me didn't, but the one that the head coach did.
Names.
Dan McGugan.
Dan McGugan.
Yep, he called. He made sure I was good.
Okay, good.
Then followed by, all right, see you tomorrow.
That's why you understand when a sideline reporter gets nailed or the chain guy.
Yeah.
You're totally unprepared for that. At least in football, you've got pads on. If you're the chain guy and you get blasted, that's why when they all, everybody laughs, I'm like, man, that's not funny. I mean, that hurts. That's painful because guys break their leg and everything. Glad you didn't break your ankle.
615-737-1025. We're up and running on this Friday, noon to 3 today. We'll be back at our normal time slot starting on Monday at the Omni Nashville Hotel today.
All SEC team is out.
Okay.
You are going to be shocked at some of these picks, especially quarterback.
All right. We will do that. Coming up next, it's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with the Buzz. This is always about great service. The All-SEC team is out. And I just literally pulled it up, and I see that the media has voted Texas to win the Southeastern Conference. I can tell you that that was my vote.
It's Texas, Georgia, Alabama at 3. I voted Alabama to win. Tennessee is 9th, Vanderbilt 13th in the predicted order of finish the all preseason SEC. Vanderbilt 13th, even after last year in Pavia, people still don't believe in them.
Yeah, well, that's fine. They probably like that. They probably like that. The all SEC team for offense, the first team quarterback, Lenora Sellers from South Carolina. Running back, Quintrevion Wisner from Texas. And running back Le'Veon Moss from Texas A&M. Wide receiver Ryan Williams from Alabama. And wide receiver Cam Coleman from Auburn. Tight end Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt. Your offensive line, Caden Proctor from Alabama. Caden Green from Missouri. DJ Campbell from Texas. Austin Barber from Florida. In the center, Jake Slaughter from Florida.
Well done. Those are all the five I picked up because I looked at a list to see, and that's who we got on there.
Second team, why don't you take that one?
Second team, all that people care about is Garrett Nussmeier. He's the second team quarterback, which means Arch Manning made third team, and I love it.
Yep.
I voted for Nussmeier first and Pavia second. Pavia did not make the first, second, or third team. Arch Manning came in third because our question all week at SC Media Days to everyone is, what has he done?
Yeah.
He's really done nothing so far, so Pavia did not make that. So one Vandy got offense, first, second, third. And Chase, am I seeing this right? Not a single Tennessee player?
On offense?
On first, second, or third team, not a single Tennessee player.
Jermon McCoy made first team defense at defensive back. And Aaron Carter was third team linebacker. Boo Carter was third team defensive back.
So one Vandy player on the list and first team.
Look at special teams.
Oh, no.
It's all Georgia.
Oh, it is. Punter, place kicker, long snapper, kicking specialist, return specialist, and all-purpose player.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yep. So there's Kentucky's third-team punter made it, so you should be happy with that.
So, I mean, I voted for the Vandy punter. They've always been good at that. So maybe not as much anymore.
Because you were exhausted going down the list. Oh, we'll throw Vandy in there and do that. quarterback is tough. You know, I didn't think Sellers would be that. I thought everybody would jump on the Arch bandwagon, number one. But having Lenore Sellers at quarterback and Nussmeier at second, I think people are good. They bought into the non-hype of Arch Manning right now to see what he could do. And it'll all be different next year. But that is what came out today.
Our friends at Music City Bets told me they voted South Carolina.
For what?
To win. To win the whole thing.
To win the whole thing.
The whole bleeping thing.
Yeah, okay, we'll see.
We'll see. I mean, look, I think they're going to be good. But.
No, they are. Again, it's scheduling, and you get the team at the right moment. You know, we watched the SEC documentary the other night about the 24 season. South Carolina was so close to beating LSU in like the third or fourth game in the season, which would have derailed LSU. And I think Brian Kelly would have been gone if they lost to South Carolina last year because they springboarded that game they won. South Carolina missed the field goal by like a foot. And that would have probably changed the trajectories of both teams as South Carolina went down the stretch, but really good football team. They lost a tough one to Alabama and Tuscaloosa. But they got a good quarterback, man. When you got a good quarterback in the league, it's tough to do anything. That's why so much praise was heaped on Pavia. Because of what he did last year. And you had a great question. Like, all right, they figured you out. What do you do now? And he's like, yeah, it's got to get better and find different ways to win ball games. And so interesting to see what's going on there. But, you know, Vandy gets one guy on there and tight end.
Yep. Eli Stowers. But I think we'd all agree he is the best tight end in the SEC.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would have gone.
The media would agree with that, too.
Second or third round had he gone to the NFL draft. He wanted to come back for another year in Vandy. He's getting paid, which is great. But if I'm Clark Lee, I take that list.
Yeah.
They think you're 13th. You got one player on this list. Nobody believes in you again. Let's prove them wrong again and go out and play. They had Vanderbilt. They got Auburn ranked before Vanderbilt in the predicted order of finish.
Yeah.
I think Auburn's going to be terrible. Terrible. And then poor Dr. Crane and his Mississippi State Bulldogs.
They're last.
They are. Sorry, Dr. Crane.
I had them last.
Maybe them, Kentucky and Arkansas could have like a little party together and hang out, like an animal house. And they go to the frat house and they send them to the other room in the back. That's where Arkansas, Kentucky, and probably Vandy, because they got less than 1,000 votes, all hang out in the back room.
Give me a bulldog burger and a cowbell. I'll be all right.
Okay.
I don't know what any of that means. Well, I know the cowbell, but.
Bulldog burger is a great, great burger.
Okay.
What makes it great, pal?
The atmosphere.
I could have a hamburger at a strip bar. That's a great atmosphere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Pac-Man Jones once said that the Gentleman's Club has the best T-bone steak, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, our hotel was literally like half a mile from Magic City that supposedly has great wings.
Great wings.
So,
what's magical about it?
I don't know. I've never had them.
Joe?
As they say, it's not magic. It's magical. That's how
Disney.
You get past that one.
So our question of the day, going back to that, is with T.J. Watt getting paid, you kind of sit here and you think, all right, who's the next Titan to get paid? There really isn't one that comes to mind. But on our phone line, our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, someone said, Nevada Josh says, Gunnar Helm, who they just drafted.
Okay.
So that he could turn out and be a really good tight end. Be the tight end this team's been looking for, and he's the one to get paid next.
Probably because I'm coming off what happened to Trey Smith, but the last part of last year, Skoronski was really good.
Yep.
Really good. Give him two more years, solidify that guard position, and I think you got something.
Give him another year with Callahan.
Yep, and you could laugh at him because the first year was very difficult for him because it's the first year in the NFL. I get that. But last year on that crappy team, he played exceptionally well. Give him two more years, he signs a big contract. Now you're like, oh, it's a guard. They're all getting paid. They're all getting paid massive amount of numbers. Trey Smith got paid massive amount of numbers. And I think Skoronski could be on the next level with Trey Smith. You could laugh. I don't care. But I'm telling you, he played well down the stretch with bad teammates around him, bad offense, quarterback that sucked, and he held his own. So two more years, Skoronski, he's getting paid. He's getting paid.
Look, I think I don't think you're far off there because I just don't know any other ones that would really fit the criteria.
Now, Latham is a question mark.
Maybe, yeah.
If he could show this year that he's got a massive upside and do well, then you got something. You got something really well working with those guys. And if you could Latham and Skoronski on the same page, playing well together with this tight, you've got a left side that you could bank on for a long time. A long time. Those guys are young and good.
I mean, if Brownlee really takes off at corner, you know, maybe him, but I mean,
could be.
You know, I'm grasping at straws here.
That's the problem. They are the worst team in the National Football League, but they've got a couple of players here and there that they could, you know, not build a huge amount around, but kind of a foundational block to go forward. And I know talking guard is not great talking football, but he's an integral, important piece of the football team. You put Latham there with him, and then you got something.
You know, not on this subject, but somebody I am really, really looking forward to seeing in camp is Jackson Slater. I know you really liked him.
I do. I don't think he plays it down.
Coming out of Sacramento State. Yep. Yeah, no, and I don't know if they want him to. I mean, that's why they brought in Zeitler.
Yeah.
You know, have him learn behind him this year and have just a full year to kind of work and observe. But, you know, with the way that this team has had to deal with injuries over the past few years, I think he's going to have to play.
And plus, I mean, he comes in. Everything he said is good. He's strong. He's a pretty good player. So you have to see it in camp and get with Callahan. If you are the offensive line coach that everybody praises you to be, here you go. Here's a guy. You can sculpt this guy however you want him to go, however good you want him to be, and you can just go from there.
Are you all right there?
Well, we're sitting here in this aquarium at the beautiful Omni National Hotel at the corner of Korean Veterans Boulevard and 4th Avenue, and it's a great view.
What about Tavondre Sweat?
I need to see 3 good years from him.
I would agree.
Not counting last year.
But, okay, so let me ask it like this. Should he be the next one?
Yep.
I think you want him to be, especially spending – the second round pick went at 36.
Something, yeah, whatever.
Over lost his mind on him. Yeah, yep. Right.
Yeah. There was one of the Texas guys down there at SC Media Days, just talked briefly, and what about Sweat? And he said he was the most dominating interior player he'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, he just couldn't block him. Once he got motivated, couldn't stop him, man. He was Big Ten.
I always hate that.
Like, defensive player of the year. Yeah, I get
if he's
that.
Into it.
Right, yeah. If he wants it, it remains to be seen. So, yeah, right? I mean, you got somebody there. But I need to see that over a time period. It'll be several years.
Has Imani Hooker got his extension, right? He's been here 7 years.
His seventh year.
Yeah. So, him, you know, any of the receivers, I don't know.
I mean, how much? You got Ridley Lockett. How much are those guys going to play? You always talk about the receiver. Yeah, the receiver room. You maybe use 3 receivers during the year.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
Right. You might throw a 4th one out there who drops a pass. So you don't see a lot of those guys. It's just a lot of talk of nothing camp with receivers.
It's going to be interesting to see, too, if in the next week or so the Titans have that first waiver claim spot, and also there's still some free agents out there. Do they go through the first week of camp and then we see some vets get brought in?
Who was the guy from Seattle last year? We were so happy, the safety. Oh, I can't believe that. And he was terrible.
Well, there was 2. The safety was good.
One of them was Jamal Adams.
Yeah, Jamal
that guy,
Adams.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
He's done. Who was the other one they signed?
Then they traded.
Is that guy in a towel?
To what?
I thought there's a guy walking across the street that looks like he's in a towel.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Titans player. I was like, I don't believe he was in a towel.
Is he wearing pants?
I don't know. sorry. Who was the other one?
They traded him.
Trying to think. He's not Cam Ward's cousin. There was somebody else they signed.
But yeah, didn't
no,
they?
He was. Yeah, I think
Quandre
so.
Quandre Diggs. There
Quandre
we go.
Quandre Diggs. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, were they traded
He was
him?
Okay.
They traded him, right?
I think he got hurt.
Yeah, and Jamal Adams got hurt as well. They released him. Yeah. Adams signed with Detroit, ring chasing.
Yeah.
So that's why you sign these guys for 1 year. No. Why? What are they going to give you? Those things never work out. I default back to Carl Pickens when they signed him in 2000. Terrible. Just these one-year contracts are terrible. What was Vanden Bosch in 05? Was he a one-year deal?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. But yeah, he came in, and if it was a one-year deal, it exploded to, 2009, great seasons. But these one-year deals do nothing.
Wes in Clarksville says, Callahan going to get paid and not have to work after this season. So he'll be the next one.
Oh, yeah. right.
9712 says T. Sweat. And then John in Nashville says, I can't wait until Arch in Texas makes y'all eat your words. Explain how any team in the SEC is better top to bottom.
Explain to me how Arch Manning gives you right now, you think he's the best quarterback in the SEC. Tell me. I'm curious. How Arch Manning, what has he done? We've beaten this drum all week long. What has he done to show us he's number one?
Fair.
Thank you.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe live from the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Friday, live at Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. The Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and 102.5 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race, R-A-C-E, now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. It's going to be a good one.
Yes, it will be. So I'm getting more about this Arch Manning stuff. Look at this schedule, Chase, for Texas. They open at Ohio State, all right?
Sure.
5 weeks later, they're on the road at Florida. Week after that, at Oklahoma. And then November 15th, at Georgia. So we will know everything we need to know about Arch Manning probably after the first game, and certainly after first game and going to Florida and see what happens.
And here's the thing. Like, I mean, what I have seen, yeah, he looked pretty good. I want to see him against regular SEC competition. And I think that a lot of the people that we talked to at SEC Media Days kind of felt the same way. Like, nobody's saying that he's trash and not any good. It's just show me against the real opponents and not against, Marshall or whatever, whoever they played. 0960 says, what does Arch have to prove? It's the prophet. He's a Manning. That's obviously is what makes him the best. Also, birds aren't real.
Don't get me started on that. Yes,
that's pretty funny.
So we'll see. Oh man, that Thanksgiving weekend, the Friday night, Texas A&M at Texas. My goodness, that'd be crazy.
I love that they're playing again.
Oh, absolutely, they are.
That's like that was thing. that was the thing where when the conference realignment happened, the last time before last year, it was like, man, you ruined a great rivalry.
No doubt.
Texas A&M, and now they're both in the SEC.
Texas does not play a home game in October at all. At Florida, at Oklahoma, well, Dallas up the street, but it's not on campus. At Kentucky, at Mississippi State. Their next home game is November 1st versus Vanderbilt.
Jeez.
That's when they're back there. So you have to earn it. Then they get a week off, and they go to Georgia. I mean, so we'll know all about Arch this year. And we're not.
Well, look, I picked them to win. So, I mean, I think that you're a little more pessimistic with him. I just want to see him against real opponents.
Yeah, that's it. We're not saying he's bad. Show us stuff. Somebody was like, what do you like about Pavia? Well, I've seen him. I've seen what he could do. I saw what he did against MTSU, and I saw what he did against Auburn. We saw what he did last year against Alabama and other teams.
Texas.
Yeah, Virginia
Tech. They should have beaten Texas.
Yep. Now they
should have beaten Missouri. Should have beaten Georgia State.
That's right.
Should have, would have, could have,
and all those things. LSU, South Carolina, Tennessee figured him out. I mean, they were tired down the stretch, and he was beaten up and all that. And I get all that, but he's done more than Arch Manning's done in the Southeastern Conference as of right now. And then we get the chance to prove himself in 2025. It ain't rocket science, man. It is what it is.
I am curious of you mentioned we did the All SEC that Vols. Picked to finish ninth. I mean, that's some bulletin board material right there.
Right? And what, not a single player on the any?
On the first team.
Yeah.
First team offense. They had a first team defense.
Right. And that's nothing, which is fine. Heupel's like, he had a great quote.
If I am Clark Lee or Josh Heupel, I'm going, good.
Yep. They don't believe in you.
Good. I don't want to be like, you know, remember what Nick Saban used to call, like, if everybody says you're great before you prove anything, what do you call that? Rat poison. It's rat poison.
It is rat poison.
You know? So he, like, if I'm a coach, I don't want anybody to think we're any good.
Us against the world.
Yeah, man. Let us show you.
It's a mentality. Us against the world. Nobody believes in us to go out and get it done and play. But Tennessee at
nine. That's how we live.
It's exactly how we right. Then I'll prove it to you. You don't have to give me the accolades. We'll show you.
Yeah.
But no, with Tennessee, though, and I think they realize that. I mean, look, Tennessee was a college football playoff team last year. I mean, they still made it. I know with the questions about Nico, but we talked. If Aguilar's any good this year for Tennessee football, if he's any good, man, that team could be really, really good. Now, that the question is, how good is your quarterback? Well, we'll find out week one versus Syracuse.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that. I mean, because how think about this. I don't think there has ever been a time, maybe when Cutler was going into his senior year, that we could sit here and say we have more faith in the Vanderbilt quarterback over the Tennessee quarterback going into the season.
Yeah, who was the quarterback – for Mason, 16, 17, 18, 19, that won a bunch of games. His dad, Shermer. Kyle Shermer? Not Kyle. Pat was his dad. What's his name? How am I not forgetting?
Yeah.
I thought he was a good quarterback.
He was. I remember the first year that SEC – Kyle Shermer. That the first year that SEC Media Days was in Atlanta, they had a big billboard of him.
Oh, nice.
There
is he with the Chiefs still as an assistant, like an offensive assistant or something?
He is. He's a quality control coach for the Bills.
For the Bills, yeah. I think, you know, Derek Mason, we've talked about this, was the only coach, Vanderbilt coach, to ever beat three different Tennessee football coaches.
Yeah.
Only one ever. So Shermer was the quarterback. He wants a big game. I mean, he was a good quarterback. At that time, he was better because Dobbs was good in 16. Then in 17, they had Dormandy. And 18, they had Garantano. Bad. So, yeah, there were some moments. But they're few and far between with Vanderbilt quarterbacks better than the Tennessee quarterback.
Yeah.
Whit Taylor in 82 was great for Vanderbilt.
Yep.
But, yeah, there's not been a lot
of them. Who was the quarterback for Tennessee 2005?
Clawson or Eric Ainge? Eric Ainge was there 04 to 07.
Was
and
he?
Then Jimmy Clawson was the quarterback that went back and forth. Remember they had Brent Schaefer and 04 and Ainge were the quarterbacks back and forth. Schaefer transferred, I think, Mississippi State or Ole Miss or whatever. Ainge became the quarterback. Then Clawson transferred in from LSU. Couldn't get along with
Saban. How many Clawsons were there?
There were three.
Casey, Rick, and Jimmy.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was Rick Clawson. That's who came.
Yeah, I was about to say. Jimmy, I thought, was later.
Rick. Yep.
Yeah. By the way, Casey Clawson is the associate head coach at Westlake High School in California.
Great quarterback. Last quarterback. He beat Florida twice in Gainesville. Not even your boy. Man, I was up against some bad team down in Florida. Not even he could do that. Casey won two big games down in the swamp. 01 and 03. The last time Tennessee won there was 03.
Yeah.
That's right, man.
Jimmy was at Jimmy Clawson went to Notre Dame.
Yes.
He never went to Tennessee.
Did not. Rick was the one.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
And Rick's the one that beat LSU after Katrina in 05 in that crazy game
down
in Baton Rouge. But Tennessee in that 05 season was terrible.
Rick Clawson is the head coach at Westlake High School in California.
Is he?
Yeah.
That gum.
Casey's his assistant.
And where's Jimmy? Jimmy played a while in the NFL, did he not?
Yeah, he played I remember he was in Baltimore. Jimmy last played, so he was with the Panthers from 10 to 13, the Bears 14, 15, and Ravens in 15. What he's doing now.
It's a Garth Brooks song, isn't it?
What is he doing now?
Take it, Chase.
It doesn't say.
Sing it to the break, man. Take all that.
It's tearing me apart.
Who was it that said he was going to win the Heisman Trophy at Notre Dame? Like, hey, bet the farm.
Oh, yeah.
He won the Heisman Trophy.
There were a lot of people that said that.
Yeah, and he did nothing. But I'm telling you, the Clawson brothers, I mean, speak highly of them. If you're a Tennessee fan, what Casey did from 2000 to 2003, and, of course, what Jimmy did winning down in Rick did winning down in Baton Rouge in 05. That was a bad year, though, for Tennessee. 05 and 08, bad years for Tennessee.
Not
well, then you had
17, 18, 19. Although Pruitt did win a bowl game.
He did.
Won
but
a Gator
but
bowl.
Tennessee fans just like to forget that. That whole period of time that they caused.
I mean, Tennessee's not been to the SEC championship games since 07. So
with Fulmer?
With Fulmer. And they lost to LSU, won the national championship. Ainge threw a pick six in the fourth quarter.
I know.
That cost them the game.
They should have won that game.
They should have won the 0-1 game versus LSU. Yeah. They got too cocky.
Yeah.
And Saban absolutely outcoached Fulmer in the SEC championship game. And what's funny about that, Chase, had Tennessee won that game, they play Miami in the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
And you had a really good Tennessee football team going to one of the best college football teams ever in Miami.
So that would have been the Natty?
The Natty in the Rose Bowl in 0-1. Wow. It would have been that big of a game. And Tennessee had Haynesworth.
Who did Miami beat?
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Yeah, with I think Nebraska had Crouch, who won the Heisman Trophy that year.
Yeah.
Man. But that had been a great matchup. But Saban outcoached, and LSU had a backup quarterback. Rohan Davey came in, was their backup quarterback. And Saban went into halftime and just outcoached Phil
Fulmer.
Who
was the starter? Was that Mock?
Might have been Mock, yeah. Davey was a backup quarterback.
Huh. Interesting.
So his thing was stick to the game plan. Stick to the game plan.
Yeah.
Which is like Belichick, do your job.
Do your job.
Stick to the game plan.
615-737-1025. We'll have more coming from Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 the game. 5-106-3 the game on this Friday.
Sorry, but we got a special guest entered on me, and I'm enthralled with his stories.
Thank you, Garth. I knew Dr. Crane wouldn't let us down by bringing back Garth. I was like, I'm sitting here with a headset in my hand, like, what is that, Garth? I think I hear Garth. Good job, Dr. Crane.
Dr. Crane, can you find Rick Clawson's phone number so Chase can call him up and sing this to him?
Sure. I'm sure it's in a high school directory somewhere.
It's Rick Clawson. What she's doing now.
We should have thought of that sooner, and we could get Rick and Casey Clawson on and just, you know.
I don't think Casey does interviews, what I've been told.
Really?
I think he's like, I was good. I had my time. I'm good.
I'm done now.
Yeah.
Who was the – okay, so they were right after – Casey was right after T. Martin, right?
Yes, sir.
But there was another guy that he kind of had a competition with.
Casey?
Yeah. That I think Casey won it.
Casey was a true freshman in 2000. I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe. I don't remember who it would be. Because you had – because that's why I don't want to ask Cutcliffe the other day.
Because was T back in 99?
Yes.
Okay.
So – we had Cutcliffe on. So, 94, they had Peyton, Todd Helton, Jerry Colquitt, and Brandon Stewart. Colquitt gets hurt in the first game versus UCLA, gone. Helton gets hurt versus Mississippi State, realizes baseball is more important, he's gone. Then becomes Manning and Stewart, and they go back and forth, and Manning was a lot better. Stewart transfers to Texas A&M. So, T comes in 96, and that was the question. It's like, he should have redshirted in 96, and Fulmer didn't redshirt T. Martin in 96. He played. So after 99, T was done, and that's when Casey came in 2000 and took over. But there might have been, but I don't remember who that would have been, the backup quarterback.
Yeah, it was starting with S, I think.
Superman?
No.
David James has S in it.
I heard Superman wasn't good, which kind of bums me out.
Right? The original was fantastic. Christopher Reeves.
Yep.
In the early CGI, which was just pedestrian but great.
Yeah. Falls fans, help me out. There was another guy, and
2000
Vols quarterbacks.
You say his
Casey
name.
Casey Clawson, A.J. Suggs.
A.J. Suggs, yep. You got the S right, pal.
Yep, there you go.
A.J. Suggs. Might have been A.J. Sucks because he wasn't that good.
Joey Matthews was also on that team, apparently.
Joey Matthews.
So there you go. This moment in Vols history is brought to you by the insurers of Tennessee.
Natural gas, yeah. Which Chase has.
and snoring.
Let's not do that, man. I mean, the 2000 team was pretty good. Dante Stallworth, Haynesworth, John Henderson was on that team. Jason Witten was a part of that team. David Martin, the tight end. Travis Henry spent some time in the National Football League.
Spent some time in Nashville.
Other places, yep, to do that. So that was the 2000 team. I'm trying to think who else.
Travis Henry was actually pretty good. He just he liked to do something and couldn't put it down.
Got caught up in the world, man. Yep. He was great, and when he ran over what was he on the 98? He got hurt in the Arkansas game when that Clint Sterner put the ball in the field.
Clint Sterner, former Cat?
Former Cat, that's right. Yeah, so there's a lot of quarterbacks came through there. Then, you know, Ainge was 07, 08 was Crompton.
Yeah.
With Fulmer's last year, then Crompton was there with Kiffin's 1 year in 09. And then
who was the kid that they recruited? Kiffin recruited, and he
– oh, gosh. The Clemson quarterback said, you're not good enough. Taj Boyd. Clifton had him.
No. Well, that's not who I'm thinking of. I thought there was a young – there was a guy that ended up signing and playing.
Nathan Peterman? He's been in the league like 15 years. Won't go anywhere. Well, they had Tyler Bray in 2010. Took over the
Tyler
team.
Bray. That's what I'm thinking of.
So he was Bray 10, 11, 12. I remember we had the question about which Tennessee quarterback's been in the NFL the longest besides Peyton, and Bray was second.
Yeah.
Because he spent so many years on a roster.
I mean, Peterman's probably
up there as well.
Yeah.
Who did very little in Knoxville. And then after that, you just kind of Dobbs from 13 to 16, Dormandy, Garantano.
Dormandy.
Who was awful. Remember Pruitt grabbed Garantano's face mask and Tuscan?
Everybody
people
went,
like, how dare you do that? And I'm like, gosh, how do you not do that? Probably not.
Have you seen him play?
Yeah. And then it settled down with Heupel, with Hooker, Joe Milton, and, of course, with Nico last year.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, trust Heupel. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He knows what the offense is good. You just got to find the right guy to run it. I read the stat last night. Nico only threw four touchdown passes. It might have been Robbie and Rexro this morning. Threw four touchdown passes against ranked teams. Four.
Jeez.
That's it. He wasn't the right guy to run your offense.
Right.
Get out of here. It's fine.
Right.
You get Aguilar, who does exactly what you ask.
Do you think,
boom.
And even if we had asked him this, he wasn't going to answer it, but do you think that's why Heupel was so quick to be like, all right, see ya?
Could be.
Because he knew, like, there are better people equipped to run the offense?
At what point do you get tired of all that?
Yeah.
Daddy?
Sure.
Family? You don't run the offense? You're bigger than the team? You ask, we get Fisher on next time. What do you do when you get a guy who thinks he's bigger than the team? What do you do? I want to know. You get rid of him. You got to humble that guy. And Nico thinks he's better than the team.
Right.
No, bigger than the team. No, it's not happening.
Yep.
What are you smirking for?
No one's above the team.
No one's above the team.
Yep. That's why.
You're smirking.
That's why.
I'll okay.
Tell you off the air.
No one's above the team. So, yeah, when Nico says goodbye, he's like, all right, I'm not going to babysit you. You're not going to hold me hostage. God bless Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
God bless him.
Amen.
And he does go 8-4. Hell yeah, give him a pass. I don't care. But he answered your question. He's like, I don't go into football games looking to lose. I'm going in to win. And if Aguilar could do what he asked, this football team would be decent.
100%.
The schedule sets up for him.
100%.
Coming, now you got me going.
Coming up next on Monday, we had a very, very good sit-down with Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee at SEC Media Days. You will hear that conversation coming up next. It's Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 102.5 The Game.